What's up, gamers, and welcome to Lost at Sea Gaming. I am Hulking Yoda, the captain of this ship, the SS Gamer, and you have just entered my captain's quarters, my weekly gaming update show where I discuss my favorite news topic of the week, talk about what games I've been playing, and give some tips for those games, as well as make a weekly gaming-related decree. This episode, it's all about Xbox in the news, so let's dive right in to my news catch of the week. So this week, guys, I am just going to come out and say today is Sunday of this current calendar week that we have just started, and in just a few short days on Thursday of said week is going to be Microsoft's next Xbox 2020 event, the biggest one yet, possibly ever, because this is where they're going to focus 100% on their first-party lineup for the Xbox Series X, which is what everybody is waiting to see. What does Microsoft have that they've been hiding behind closed doors all this time? So with that being the case, as well as a lot of interesting news that came from the Microsoft Xbox side of things this past week, I'm going to focus and just say this is Xbox week. That's just all there is to it. It just makes sense to me with all the news we have going into this week, with all the news that we're going to come out of this week, it's officially Xbox week. So as I said, there were three main news tidbits, if you will, that Microsoft laid on us this past week, and I'm going to go through each one and kind of give my thoughts and opinions on what they may mean, and just kind of make sure you guys are up to date on everything going on right now. So the first thing I'm going to touch on is the Game Pass. So Game Pass Ultimate is an option that Microsoft offers for gamers that want to utilize both Game Pass and Xbox Live Gold. So this past week, Phil Spencer confirmed and announced that Game Pass Ultimate is going to be getting game streaming this year. Game Pass Ultimate subscriptions will include support for the Project xCloud game streaming service starting this September at no extra cost. Now, let's consume that a little bit. So Xbox Game Pass Ultimate already gives you Xbox Game Pass and access to over 100 games, as well as Xbox Live Gold membership and your free games every month, your functionality on the Xbox Live interface. So now on top of that, you're also going to get essentially xCloud and the ability to stream, if you do not know what xCloud is, the ability to stream your games straight to your Android device. So you could be at work, a la Linking Sponge from Gaming with Mr. C on YouTube. Check him out. You could be on your break at work and pull out the old phone and connect up the Xbox One controller and sit there and play some Gears of War 5. Whatever the case may be, bottom line is this is rolling out no extra cost to current Xbox owners who have the Game Pass Ultimate subscription. Now, I will say it is not 100% clear, though, if this is a full subscription to the xCloud service or if it's just access to stream Game Pass titles. So what this means is there's been no confirmation that you can just stream any game from your console with this bundle deal, or if it's just limiting you to streaming Game Pass titles. So that has not been confirmed yet by Phil, Microsoft, anybody yet, so we have to be left to speculation as far as those details are concerned. I will say also, for those of you Xbox fans that are presumably not in the U.S., it's only available in specific countries that have not yet been specified. I'm assuming, with Microsoft being an American company and Phil Spencer confirming it for September, et cetera, et cetera, I am going on the assumption, purely assumption here, that the U.S. is probably a lock on that. But as far as any other countries, we don't have any specifics on that yet. So ultimately, my thoughts on this, I think it's awesome. I personally am already a subscriber to Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, and I thoroughly have enjoyed the Game Pass. I've tried out a few games that I would not have normally tried because of it, and it also gives you access to free day one access to all first-party published Microsoft Game Studios titles, or Xbox Game Studios, as they are now called. So pretty amazing package just right there with Game Pass, and then you add in the functionality and access you have with Xbox Live Gold. So actually a very, very interesting piece of information. Number two in the way of news in the Xbox world this past week was the announcement that production is officially stopping on, believe it or not, the Xbox One X and the Xbox One S all digital console models. So the only remaining Xbox One model going forward that will continue to maintain production now is the Xbox One S, the standard Xbox One S console. Microsoft did officially announce this in a statement and said they are doing so in preparation for the launch of the Series X. Now, I get it. Most console manufacturers do end up stopping the manufacturing of their older last-gen consoles at a certain point once the newer ones are out. I will say Microsoft is... It's not necessarily totally surprising to me that they've already stopped or announced they're stopping production on those models, because Microsoft has been very consistent with being usually the first, between them and Sony at least, to be very quick and out there at stopping production on the older console and focusing on ramping up production on the newer console. If you guys remember when the 360 first launched, they immediately did the same thing. Stop, and that wasn't just manufacturing the Xbox, but also supporting it with games. So they left the Xbox, the OG Xbox, immediately, pretty much. And then with the 360, very quickly after the One's launch, they also halted production on the console. Now, I will say it's interesting to me, though, that out of the three different models that they currently offer for Xbox One, I was very surprised that the Xbox One X was a model that they chose to discontinue. Now, the all-digital S model is not necessarily too surprising to me, but at the same time, I was like, huh, that is their newest model. Maybe it didn't sell that well. I'm not 100% sure there, but definitely raises an eyebrow for me. But the Xbox One S as the standard for Xbox One as a console is pretty interesting to me. I get it. You know, your Series X that's coming out is going to be the end-all be-all, but it was already twice as powerful as the One X. So I don't know if they were worried. If they were worried that the One X would be a threat to the Series X, and that's why they're eliminating that SKU, I don't know why they would think so, because it's half as powerful as the Series X. So for someone looking to upgrade, why wouldn't they go to the most powerful of the three or four options available within the Xbox family, is my logic here. Now, I will say that I understand they probably couldn't cut the price low enough for the One X to be competitive and still be relevant and still make some kind of a profit on it, with the Series X also available. And from a business standpoint, who knows? Maybe it's a way to force us being the consumer, into upgrading to a Series X once the model of the One X has sold out on store shelves and are no longer being supplied. It's either the One S or the Series X. So another thing to consider here when talking about different console models is also the fact that we have Project Lockhart, the second model of the next-gen Xbox family that we have yet to see exactly what it is. It is assumed to be the Xbox Series S, but we have yet to see any confirmation on anything regarding Project Lockhart, which we probably will see hopefully this Thursday at the Xbox 2020 event. But Microsoft has said that it's all games, so maybe not. Maybe it'll be next month in August. But that was announcement number two from the Xbox camp. Number three, so one-year Xbox Live Gold cards are no longer for sale on the Microsoft Store. So Microsoft has stopped selling this one-year SKU, but they are still offering 1- and 3-month plans. Now, the speculation is, again, that they are doing this ahead of planning to shift their focus to Game Pass Ultimate. In a sense, phasing out completely the title and moniker of Xbox Live Gold and turning everything into Game Pass Ultimate. And this is coming right on the heels of the announcement, obviously, that we just talked about of Game Pass Ultimate getting game streaming. So all these announcements, it's very interesting to me. And you know what? I'm okay with that as long as it's only about the fact that it's transitioning names and, you know, you have to print the cards and have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate on it as opposed to Live Gold. And if you're getting rid of that name anyways, then obviously it would make sense to go ahead and pull them now to get ahead of the game. But I think it's definitely a sign that there are big things coming this Thursday. And I say that because in 1 week, we've gotten three pretty major announcements from Xbox about different things happening and changing and molding and morphing as far as their approach to their services offered, as well as their console models offered. So it's just really got my brain just kind of rolling around and going nuts, trying to figure out, man, what is going to be coming this Thursday and then beyond, to be honest with you guys. So ultimately, I'm going to consider this the calm before the storm of announcements that are going to be coming this Thursday at that Xbox 2020 event. At the end of the day, I'm very excited, and I cannot wait to see what else Microsoft has to surprise us with. So that'll do it for this week's Catch of the Week. Now let's go check in and see what I've been playing in my Captain's Log. So guys, I have been playing for right out about a month, if you've been following this episode, show type, The Last of Us Part 2. Well, you will be happy to know, listeners, I have finally this past week completed the game. I have beaten it, completed the adventure that I started in the middle of June, and absolutely loved the game. The story, the characters, the experience overall, absolutely loved it. As far as any further details or opinions on this game specifically, I would ask that you check out my review for The Last of Us Part 2, which is coming soon. It is in the works, and I will get that out to you listeners as soon as I possibly can. Definitely look forward to getting that out to you guys. There was one other title, though, that I was able to get my hands on, and I've gotten about 5 hours roughly into it so far. Second biggest release of the summer, definitely, and possibly even the year so far. Sony's other big hitter in their right-left hook of releases, and that would be Ghost of Tsushima. And that released just this Friday, a couple days ago. Finally got a chance to start playing it this morning. And I got to tell you guys, oh, I am not disappointed. Graphically, it's phenomenally beautiful. Gameplay-wise, beautiful world to explore. Combat's a little interesting. I'll get more into that maybe into a review, but I've definitely enjoyed what I've played of it so far. The world of Tsushima is an absolute delight to explore. I love a lot of little things they have going on within the game that they implement and how they have you upgrade your different abilities. And I just think it's awesome. Just little things like increasing your max health. You have to find a hot spring. And when you do the hot spring, it's not just you go there, you click a button, you get increased. No, it's story related to it. You actually meditate. And when you're there, reflect is the exact word they use. And you choose what you want to reflect on. I won't say what the subjects are. And then you kind of have an inner monologue with Jin, the main character of the game. My favorite though so far is creating a haiku in order to increase your resolve. I think it's very, very cool. For those of you that don't know what a haiku is, it is a three-bar poem in a sense. And there are certain locations throughout the game that you can create a haiku. And the result of the haiku, regardless of what you pick, you get a headband, which has different meaning behind it or whatnot. But I just think that's really cool from a creative aspect, from a personalized aspect. There's just so much different customization options available to you within the game as far as your armor, your weapons, your horse. So much fun being had just in the first 5 hours of what is supposedly rumored to be anywhere from a 50 to 70 hour game, depending on how much of a completionist you are. And if you're habitual listeners of this show, you know that your boy Hulk and Yoda is pretty much the completionist type. So I'm probably going to be spending towards that 70-hour mark more than anything else. But Ghost of Tsushima, if you guys were wondering, an absolute blast so far. Absolutely, absolutely check it out. So that 1-2 hook, right hook, left hook from Sony has been awesome this summer, summer of 2020. And speaking of the summer of 2020 and PlayStation, summer of PlayStation. So guys, I don't know if you knew this or not, if you haven't listened to some previous episodes. Every year I do what I call my summer of PlayStation because Sony always seems to release their biggest games around the summertime, and I always end up seemingly playing my PlayStation 4 all summer long because of this. Since the fact that my Xbox is my dominant console and the one I play multi-platform games and Xbox exclusives on, I go back to the PS4 for its exclusives. So bottom line is, I'm right in the middle of my summer of PlayStation, thoroughly enjoying it. I've already played through Last of Us Part 2. I'm playing Ghost of Tsushima. I played some Medieval. I played some MLB. Another big thing to PlayStation to me is their version of the GamerScore system from Xbox, which is the trophy system. So what I want to do is each week going forward throughout the rest of my summer of PlayStation, I want to communicate with you guys just for a little fun where I'm at in my PlayStation trophy level. And the reason why I say this is I am currently at a trophy level 8, 92% towards trophy level 9. My ultimate goal is I want to be at trophy level 10 by the time I leave the PlayStation to go back to the next game, big release that's a multi-platform game that I'll be getting on the Xbox, which as of right now looks like it'll be The Avengers later in September. So from now until then, I will keep you on track with where I am at currently in my PlayStation trophy level, and just for a little fun, just to kind of see if I actually am able to pull it off and hit that trophy level 10. And that will be pretty awesome to come into the next generation, into PlayStation 5, with a well-rounded level 10 number. So there you have it. That's what I've been up to this week in my Captain's Log. So now let's check in with some buried treasure gaming tips that I have for you. So this week will be my final The Last of Us Part 2 buried treasure gaming tip for you guys. Last week I gave you a tip on where to find a specific save code as you're playing throughout a section in the game. This week I'm going to give you a little tip in my personal instruction on how to approach a boss fight within the game. Now, this boss fight, I'm not going to go into any specifics to avoid spoilers as much as I can. The bottom line is the boss is known as the Rat King. And let me just say, you'll know what I'm talking about based on my description if you haven't gotten there yet in the game once you get there. So let's just say, I mentioned him last week in my Captain's Quarters episode and said that it was a standout moment for me. So I was like, this week, you know what? I'm going to give these guys some tips and just kind of tell them, hey, this is how I approached the fight and what I thought worked and worked for me. Now, I will say that ultimately, at the end of the day, the absolute best thing to do and to keep in mind in this boss fight is to stay mobile. Continue, never just stop. Even if you're running through, you have to constantly be moving. You got ammo pickups, health pickups, different crafting item pickups. You can pick these up, but pick them up as you're running by. Tap that triangle button to pick up those items. Do not stop and hesitate. There's just a lot going on in this boss fight. The Rat King is not necessarily as slow as you might think he is once he gets going, so you don't want to back yourself into a corner either. One strategy that I used to help slow him down was launch some pipe bombs at him. Wait until he gets in range. As soon as he gets in range to where the icon pops up for you to tap R2 to be able to throw a grenade, a Molotov, a pipe bomb, whatever the case may be, the throwable object that you have. As soon as that icon pops up, just tap the R2 button and boom, it'll kind of stagger him a little bit, explode, knock off some health, and give you a little bit of separation between you and he. Now, as things intensify a little bit and the fight progresses past the midway point, there will be a little bit of an addition to that boss fight. And all I can say is continue to move. Do not stand still. Do not get backed into a corner. Keep your guns reloaded and utilize melee on this new addition when possible. But always make sure you are aware of where the Rat King is as well. But either way, at the end of the day, very cool boss fight, very fun moment in the game for me, very intense moment, but immensely enjoyable nonetheless. So that'll do it for my final The Last of Us Part 2 buried treasure gaming tip on Captain's Quarters. Hopefully it will give you guys some help. And now let's check in and see what my gaming captain's decree is this week. All right, guys. So as I said, this week is Xbox week. So in the news, I broke down for you the major announcements of Xbox, talked about what's coming up this next week with Xbox 2020. So here's my decree. It's a question with an answer, and it is, will Microsoft crush it at this Xbox 2020 event? My answer? Yes. A resounding yes. Why, you ask? Why do you think that they'll do that? Okay, well, I'll tell you. So here's my thing. The reason why I think that they will crush it this Thursday is quite a few things. One, as much as I love Xbox and they're my preferred brand, at the end of the day, I am not too prideful to admit that they dropped the ball on their last 2020 event. They put a lot of hype behind it, and the showcase, albeit, yes, it was third-party developers that were in charge of choosing the content they wanted to show. But at the end of the day, this was looked at as Microsoft's show, Xbox's show. Hey, we finally get to see next-gen gameplay. And we just really didn't walk away from that feeling satisfied. And then after that, guess what happened? You had the PlayStation 5 tech demo with the new Unreal Engine. Then after that, you had the PS5 reveal live stream event, which went over really well. So you've had a couple of very positive things recently in between these Xbox 2020 events from Sony and PlayStation 5. The direct competitor, obviously, even though Phil tries to say there is no competition, you know he's got to be sitting there. You can't help but not want your brand to be successful, right? So the bottom line is, I think that they have learned from these mistakes, and I think they know that they have to come out swinging on this event. They have to bring the big guns. They have to do stuff that's impactful. I understand they're real big on ID at Xbox, and I understand they are very big on indie developers. So am I. I love indie games. I very much support indie developers. Deliver Us the Moon, indie developed game, published game, one of my favorites this year so far. But here's my thing. Microsoft, you gotta get out there and gain the interest of the mass consumer. The mass consumer is going to be interested in those big budget, more well-known titles. So utilize that to your advantage. You got to know this. I know you guys know this. And I think that they will take advantage of that. Obviously, we already know the only confirmed game is Halo Infinite. We know we're going to get a big hands-on gameplay-wise of it. So that's definitely going to be there. But I also personally don't feel that Halo has the same kind of clout or pull as it once did a decade or so ago. I think what they need to do, they need to come out the gate with Fable 4. If you look on polls online and just hear people chatter and talk, Xbox community, former people who had Xboxes that are on PlayStation now, maybe want to see something good out of Xbox. Everybody wants a Fable 4. So they got to bring Fable 4. And I believe they will. I will be very shocked if they did not show off, if it's not Fable 4, whatever the newest Fable game is called. And it can't be a remaster or a remake of Fable 2 or 3 or any of that. It's got to be something brand new. I do believe they'll do that. Obviously, there's also rumor about a new Perfect Dark. Personally, guys, I don't think it would be a good idea to put that out there, and I don't think they will, because you got to think, from a genre standpoint, they already have Halo, and Halo is their bread and butter. They're not going to cannibalize themselves by releasing Halo Infinite and Perfect Dark at launch, or even at the same announcement or showcase. They're not going to have both of them there, because they'll cannibalize each other. At least that's my personal opinion. So I don't think we'll see Perfect Dark, but another rare game that people have been clamoring for a real true sequel to is Banjo-Kazooie. So what I would love to see is Banjo 3E. That's right. For those of you that remember, on the 64, there was Banjo-Kazooie, then Banjo-Tooie. So let's see Banjo 3E. And I am absolutely a huge fan of The Bear and the Bird, and I would love to see them make a comeback in a classic 3D platformer style like the original two games. Not nuts and bolts that we got on the 360. I don't want that. I want a true to form Banjo-Kazooie sequel and gameplay. So I really hope that they come out with that. I think that would be great if they had a very, you know, mascot platformer with Banjo 3E. You had your RPG with Fable 4. You got your first person shooter with Halo Infinite. You got your racing game with, everybody knows it's going to be either Forza Horizon 5 or Motorsport 8. More than likely, it'll be Motorsport 8 because that also directly competes with Gran Turismo 7. And also just the way the alternating release patterns of the Forza series goes. The last new release was Forza Horizon 4. So obviously, Forza Motorsport is probably what we'll get some of on this event as well. And I think that'll all be good stuff. And then there's going to be the surprises outside of stuff we already know or if we've already seen. I'm sure we'll probably get some Hellblade Senua's Saga gameplay, which would be amazing. They did just come out and confirm this past week as well that the gameplay that you saw at the Game Awards almost a year ago, that was genuine in-engine gameplay running. That wasn't what it was, you know, gameplay target. That was it. That was actual gameplay running. So if we actually see somebody controlling Senua, that would add to it, though. That's crucial. But one thing I think that they really would just completely steal the show with is if they came out and revealed that they did, in fact, acquire and purchase WB Games. Obviously, that kind of went quiet now for the last couple weeks, but there is a lot of speculation that Microsoft may in turn purchase them. You think about it, the Batman Court of Owls game that was rumored to be announced for a while, that disappeared too. There was never any announcement that came from that like they said they were supposed to. There was even dates put out about that. Well, guess what? What better way to showcase, hey, guess what, guys? We did in turn acquire WB Games, and we have the exclusive rights to Batman Court of the Court of Owls, whatever it may be called. That would be awesome. Sony, they have Spider-Man on PlayStation. Microsoft can have Batman on the Xbox. That would be great. I don't know if they'll do this, but I think it would be huge if they did release date and price of the Series X, like, you know, just kind of at the very end. I get it. I know they said that it was, you know, no hardware, no, you know, talking, none of this is just about an hour of nothing but games. I get it, but there could still be that real quick tidbit of, hey, let's slide this in there real quick. Hey, it's Phil Spencer, guys. Thanks for watching. One last thing I just wanted to share with you guys. Xbox Series X will be releasing on November 19th for $499.99 US dollars. I could see it happening, guys. I feel like it's going to happen. However they end up doing it, I'm pretty confident that we'll get some kind of release date and price out of this event. Now, obviously, all this is speculation on my part, but I think that they will win with this event and have an absolute excellent event. And that is this week's Captain's Decree. That'll do it for this episode. I hope you've enjoyed your time aboard the SS Gamer. You can join its crew by reaching out to me via email at lostatseagaming365@gmail.com, as well as on social media on Instagram at lostatseagaming and on Twitter at lostatseagamin, the number one. Again, thank you for listening, and until the sea says otherwise, we'll keep sailing.